Worship your name, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, thank you for bringing us here, Lord God. And that we can just exalt your name this morning, Lord. And yes, Lord God, be in your presence, Father. And yes, Lord God, we thank you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, Lord God. That you don't change, but that you want us to change, to become more like you, Lord. And yes, Father, thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts this morning, Lord. And for every positive seed that is sown, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that I believe your hand is with us, Lord God. And thank you for the past week's prayer, Lord God, for everyone that fasted and came together, Lord. And Lord God, just starting this year off by saying, Lord, we cannot take a step without you, Lord. And you need to point us and direct us, Lord, in every step that we take. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Welcome. You can be seated. We're going to start now. We're first going to look at a video clip, a promotion for our Bible school. So you can just sit here. I know it's hot. I heard the people are sitting close to the window, so hopefully it's a bit cooler. Otherwise, we're just going to take a moment or two. Must I move back? And then watch the video quickly.
Just Christianity in general and how it all comes together. What stood out for me was I enjoyed hermeneutics. It was great to learn about the interpretation of the word and how to do it effectively. Creationism was good, and the Holy Spirit, his giftings, and then I think also doctrine of baptism.
Vincent Taylor, also from Solomon. I did Bible school one last year, and I decided to do Bible school two last year. Also, just to equip myself further as a disciple making process for myself, that I can learn more, be more confident in my knowledge of God.
The reason I chose to do Bible school this year is to equip myself. To be a voice out there in disciple making.
Bible school first year is very applicable to a cell leader. Often the questions that come up, they touch bases with a lot of the things that get covered in first year. And then secondly, just to be an everyday evangelist, it definitely equipped me through the knowledge that I gained from doing Bible school.
Well, I'll look at apologetics. It just equips you to answer the difficult question in the daily life.
It really touched me how passionate the people are that is doing and that's presenting the Bible school and the way they do it. You can see that they love what they're doing, they've got a passion for it, and they're really in for it to teach other people and to give them the same knowledge and truth and revelation that they've got. And then also the friends you make and the bonds you in the Bible school with other people.
I think of a cell group, it just equipped me that little bit more, that you could speak with more boldness and more certainty in certain topics that we've discussed in the cell group. So, yeah, it equips you and it grows you and it makes you, it's part of disciple making for yourself, and it just equips you to then go further and make disciples of the people that you you are responsible.
I learned that as a man, your heart should be close to God, and that a woman should be close to yours, to a man's heart. So it just equipped me to know that as man of the house, you should be in a right standing with God, because then everything in your house just goes a lot better. Everything just goes a bit better when I think everybody's on a biblical understanding of how things should work.
It opens your eyes again, and it's nice to know that there's something in 30 years that you've been doing right, thanks to the grace of God, obviously. And it just makes you realize that without building your relationship with Him, 20, 30 years would have been possible.
There are few things in life that are as life-changing as reading the Word of God well.
The power to change people's lives lies in the Word of God.
And I think it's important that we just look at Scripture and try to discover together why we think so and why this is important to us.
What is the content of this news that we believe to be good?
It was the Word made flesh that came to dwell among us.
Join us for a 13-week course during which we'll be exploring what the Bible teaches us about the role of the church, cross-cultural ministry, apostolic culture, biblical church, reading Acts, the gospel pool, and practical church planting.
What is church and what is church not? How does church work?
Jesus defines church very clearly in the Bible, in His Word.
Because it's not primarily about planting churches. It's primarily about connecting people to Jesus.
What we saw with the early church is God is not averse to becoming the seed sower if we not.
And He's given us authority to do that.
To communicate the gospel in such a way
to receive the revelation of who God is.
To be prayerful.
To look like Jesus.
To be the seed.
To build a church.
To be transformed.
To equip the saints.
To become like Jesus.
Sign up for Bible school at a campus near you.
So, everybody just do it.
Amen. Awesome. We're all excited about Bible school this year, getting ourselves equipped. I want to share a little bit, and this week and next week, we are still busy with the theme, the bigger theme of building God's house. I believe this is a very, very important part of our foundation. You know, you can't build on something if there's not a proper foundation. So I want to read something to you. It's from John Walford's book, and it's about prophecy. And I just want to start there this morning. He says, about 25% of the Bible was prophecy when it was written. It is evident that God intended to draw aside the veil of the future and to give some indication of what His plans and purposes were for the human race and for the universe as a whole. And it just sets the table for me in terms of God Almighty coming and in the sense of like peeling an onion, you know, revealing little by little something about Himself to all of us, that we can get to know Him better. You know, God isn't that, well, there's a lot about God that we will probably not know on this side of eternity. But, you know, there's a lot that God the Father want to reveal to us, that we want to get to know to Him. And, you know, it's always amazing. I love it when you have the opportunity to have a coffee date with a really, really young Christian and talk to that person and to see how someone, you know, that typical light going on about something about God's character, who God is, that He's a Father, etc. And we can go on about that. So just like, and as I said, you know, in his book, John Walford, he deals with about 1,000 prophecies, of which about 500 already came to pass. Now, I tried to research this week about exactly how many prophecies there are in the Bible. And I got a bit of a few contradicting figures, so I'm not going to say exactly I know that. But, you know, he deals with about 1,000. Now, it's amazing. It builds one's faith so much when you read the Old Testament, going right through to the New Testament, and just seeing things that was prophesied really coming into being. You know, it's like if I were to stand here and I would have warned you like for 3 or 4 months that today on the 24th of January, it's going to be a hot day and it's going to be about 25 degrees. And now you sit here and you can all feel, well, it's about 25 or 27 or how many? I don't know. It's quite hot. But, you know, and then we are all here this morning and we know it really came to pass. And that's the beautiful thing from Scripture. I want to read you also from Luke 4, verse 16 to 21. If you've got a Bible, you can follow Luke 4, verse 16 to 21. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and it was as his and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set to liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Now just imagine that, okay? Joseph and Mary's son, he's standing there, he's reading that, and he hands over the book, like all of you, sitting here, thinking, what will this man say? And immediately what happens, something from the past becomes the present. He said, this scripture is fulfilled in me. The fact that I'm standing here, I'm Jesus. I'm going to preach the good news. I'm going to heal the blind. Okay? There was this expectation. All eyes were fixed on him. And Jesus certainly didn't disappoint. Okay? Because Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. So he stood up there and Jesus could preach like none of us. He is the Word. So just imagine that realization in the moment when people thought like, or not thought, they saw this is the person that has been prophesied about and now it's becoming to pass. To me, it's building our faith so much just to go through all the prophecies in the Old Testament, and then it can encourage us so much when we study the New Testament and especially those prophecies that still need to happen. Because if it was true in the past, we can have that faith that it will become true in the future as well. If you go sometime and you go and read a little bit on Shofar's website, go and please read there if you haven't been there, or maybe if you're new, go and Google us and see what we do, what we believe in, etc. And then I just took a small clip from our Bible school part, and I also want to read it to you. It says, over the course of 3 years, Bible school takes us on a journey of not only learning about the Bible, but applying it practically in our lives, establishing an intimate relationship with God, cultivating a biblical worldview, and demonstrating our faith practically. Now that worldview, that's an important word to me. You see, that's the way we look to the world around us and how we relate to it. It's almost like putting on glasses and saying, this is the world. I'm going to interpret the world, society, everything that's happening around me through a biblical worldview. Not through secular humanism or something else, but through the Word. Okay? And then we're going to teach you that. There's also the option this year, if you maybe for some reason you missed the first part of the year, you can just do the second semester, and then next year you can continue with the first part of Bible school. So you can do it actually, we broke it up. It's not just like the first year A to Z anymore. You can do it over 2 years if you move somewhere or you've got a big assignment at work, or maybe you're a mum-to-be and you will be pregnant or something. But you see, we need to have that biblical worldview, that glasses we put on to help us to interpret everything around us. When I look at Scripture, I'm tempted in many ways to say today and preach a sermon just about information and say, there's so many books in the Old Testament, so many in the New Testament. There was authors that were military men, there were poets, there were a variety of people. And I've preached those sermons. Ask Lachia. She's been, how long have you been in church? She's been one of my sheepies when we were still there in Windhoek. I love the Word. We can talk about hermeneutics and all those things. But, you know, if I were a salesman today and had a product to market, you know, you can maybe sell a car or a guitar or something and you will tell what this thing can do for you. But if I've got the privilege, in a sense, to sell the Word to you. And that's the best investment that you can make in your life. Because what you sow, you will reap. And if you take time to grow in the Word of God, to discover, that will really be a seed that you sow, in a sense, growing into something big, powerful, and that will be a good investment in your life. In Ephesians 6, verse 17, it says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." You see, it talks there about the full armor and protecting ourselves. But there's one part, and that is the sword that we take. When we go on missions, you know, we preach the Word. It's not just about protecting ourselves. We go out. Now, in Jesus' day, there was a lot of the Jews that were really not happy about this Jesus that came riding on a donkey, not looking like a very powerful man, because they expected probably a military man on a white horse with a sword in his hand, conquering all the people that has been oppressing Israel for such a long time, throwing a yoke off their shoulders. But Jesus came with the Word. He came with the Spirit. He brought a new dispensation called the New Testament. Okay? And from there, we've got this powerful Word, and it's so important that we are all equipped. You see, I want to challenge you today. Many times, and I think of my own life, we'll think, okay, maybe I'll wash the car tomorrow, or maybe I will do it next year, or we tend to postpone a lot of things in life. But you see, there's an opportunity where many of us have time right now. I know all of us are busy, but we need to make time. We need to say to ourselves, where will I commit? Because if you look at this bricks, at this stage in church, we are talking about building God's house. And there's many places where we can equip ourselves. But you see, if you want to grow in church, become a leader, not to say that I'm a leader, but that you can be more effective, more efficient, that there's more tools in your toolbox for the kingdom's sake. There's one of the best places to start is with God's Word. And I'm proud of Merlin and Vincent and the people sharing their testimonies there on camera. We have our local celebrities these days. Richard made a lot of effort making the videos to us available. But you see, if you do a year or two or three of Bible school, it will really bless you. Now, firstly, you know, there's that place in discipleship where we talk about coming to Jesus. Maybe where we have to be spoon-fed, etc., where we need to feed, we need to grow. That's mainly by Bible school first and second year. There's a lot of doctrine, there's a lot of laying of foundation. But Bible school third year, that I'm really excited about, that we're going to start to do this year for the first time, here in Swakopmund, me and Pastor Yaku will be presenting that, to share about practical ministry. And that's the going part. It's about Spirit-led ministry, about planting churches, something we're really passionate about, something we're really looking forward to, and to share that. So if you want to go and have a look, maybe if you want to know a little bit more about the first year, second year, or third year curriculum, I've posted at our Facebook group, just go and look for that, about the content and the modules, about what we will do this year. As I posted it myself, I once again just got excited, and listening to many of the people presenting, you know, I just get passionate about what I know God is going to do this year. I remember, you know, the Word of God is powerful. It's something that really changed us. And when I met my wife there way back in 2005, there was this big sticker on a car that said, God's Girl, you know, and she wore this t-shirt that she made, the printing designed it herself, and it said, God's Girl, you know, because God did an amazing work in her life. I'm not as bold as she. I think between the two of us, she's probably the evangelist. I'm more the pastor teacher, so we make a good team, I believe. But you see, when we meet Jesus, when we start to feed on the Word, you know, it changes us. We can't stay the same. It will change you. I want to read you from Hebrews 4, verse 12, very well-known scripture. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. You see, maybe even last night or at any given time, you were wrestling, you were fighting with someone. Maybe someone hurt you, maybe someone offended you, maybe you were wronged in some way, and you wake up and you feel miserable and angry, and you feel like retaliating. You know, some of us, we do feel like that. And then when you take up the Word early in the morning and you start to read it, you know, Hebrews 4 verse 12, it starts to change us, it starts to cut, because the Word, it brings order into our lives, it brings truth into our lives. How many times will probably some of you also be able to testify that you felt like fighting with someone, and then after a half an hour or what of reading the Word, praying, maybe worshiping, you say, okay, God, maybe tomorrow I will forgive. And then hopefully you read it more, 30 minutes more, and then you say, okay, God, I'll forgive today. I will let it go. I will let it go. So the Word is powerful. We can harbor in our hearts many, many thoughts, But the Word of God, it will come, it will cut, and it will clearly come. And it's like looking in a mirror. It will bring to us and it will show our own thoughts. And many times I've laughed at myself, at places I've been, thoughts I had. And then I'm so, you know, thankful that the Word can come into my life with the work of the Holy Spirit and say to me, man, you need to change your heart. You need to change your thoughts. And the Word does exactly that. We know that that Jesus is the Word. We read it in John. Jesus became flesh. He was in the beginning. We can't separate God and the Word, Jesus and the Word. It's the same thing, you know. So we read it. It's active. It's living. It's powerful. And then also something, you know, it's an absolute authority. People in this world can say whatever they want to, but God's Word is the ultimate authority. And what God says there, the prophecies, how things will work, that is the way things definitely will be. It will bring the truth to us, and the truth will set us free. Many times we have to go to Romans 12, 2, and we need to be reprogrammed, reformatted in a sense. You know, where God needs to take something out of us, and He needs to put in something new, something beautiful, something. Many times we walk around in life with a lot of bad stuff in our hearts. And then God needs to come and He has to put the truth in our hearts. Now, I know in my own life there were times that I thought, I wish I did that thing in the past. I wish I equipped myself better. And that's why I said, go and see if this year isn't a good time for you to do Bible school. I really want to encourage you. We've got the privilege of having a facility, of the teachers, of everything. And it's an investment that you can make. Now, if I were to walk in Swakopmund, you know, and I look at a foundation, then myself, and I think many of you, I'm not a builder or engineer, but just by looking at what foundation is laid, you know, I can say what type of a building will be built there. Now, if we look there, Anthony, if you can go to that first slide of the... if you see, it almost looks like some of us, it looks like Tio Potgieter, where's Tio? There at the back to the left. I saw Tio a bit earlier. But this is people building, and we can see it's not something massive that we will be built there. And if we go to the second slide, if you look at the construction, you know, it looks like a 20-story skyscraper or something really big that will be built there. And if we go to the third and the fourth slides, we will see that one correlates or corresponds to the first slide. You see, that house that is built there, you know, fits on the first one's foundation. And if you look at the fourth slide, those huge building, I'm so thankful I live in Swakopmund and not in, I think, New York or somewhere with all those buildings and all those concrete and all that stuff. We're so blessed to live in a place like this. But if you look like that, if you want to build a building with 100 stories or something, then you have to have a foundation that will be able to sustain that. Okay, I just went over the weekend and I read a little bit about, you know, foundations, and they basically divide it into shallow foundations and deeper foundations. And obviously, the ground and the soil and everything plays a part, but especially what you want to build. If it's just a normal type of a living house, family home, you know, you will have a certain type of foundation. And if you want to build something really big, then you need a proper foundation that will sustain everything that's on top of that. I want to read to you, and I'll come back to this right now, from Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. It had a proper foundation. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And then you can show that last picture, Anthony. Something falling over, not having a proper foundation, something structurally going wrong there. I'm not sure exactly what happened there, but you can see something there was probably a landslide or an earthquake or something. But you see, friends, we are faced in life. As Christians, we are faced with landslides and earthquakes and stuff like that happening around us. You know, just talking to people in church, we know, even believers, we go through tough times sometimes. We go through difficult times, you see, and then it goes back to the foundation. If someone walks up to me and he just want to give a word to me or prophesy over my life or something, I will go back and I will test it against Scripture. That is my foundation. I will not just eat up anything that anyone says to me. Especially when I started to preach, and now I just love it even more. You know, if I read a Scripture and I think this is what it means, I will always go back first to a commentary or exegetical commentary or something, and make sure that what I think and a few other scholars or really well-equipped people, that it's in line, that I'm not telling a lie or just giving my own interpretation, you see. And Jesus used these words. He said it will be a wise man who builds on a solid foundation. This is not a building or something, but we are talking about our church and building God's kingdom. And I want to invite you. I will not use fear or manipulation or sales tricks or anything, because this is where you will be blessed if we grow in the Word of God. And you can, if you haven't done it, make the commitment. Maybe the second year or the third year, go and learn something. I've done something like the Old Foundation one or the Encounter one. I've done it so many times over the years, but you will never grow tired of it. Why? Because God's Word is living and it's active and it's powerful and it will always change you. So I want to encourage you. God has got plans for our lives. And if you, with the help of God, want to build a big building, the foundation will be God's Word. That is something, it's not negotiable. So maybe at this stage, you with a one-bedroom type of house, and maybe God is going to stretch you this year and he says, build another garage, build another bedroom, maybe make it a double-story house. But you see, that's where the foundation comes in. Not something when a bit of wind and rain come, it will take everything apart and it will fall over like that picture. You need something proper. Because maybe tomorrow the small group facilitator is sick, or it's on your name to lead a mission team or something. You know, then we need to be equipped. Then we need to have that powerful, that solid foundation of God's Word. Anthony, you can go to that slide with the that looks like the bricks here in the front. You can go, there's many of that foundational truths. And there's certain things that God needs to come and establish in our lives. There will always be certain doctrines that some of us like more than others. Maybe you've got a heart for praise and worship. Maybe you've got a heart for reaching to the nations. Maybe you've got something for intercession or prayer. But you see, all of them build a brick together, a wall together. And on that, you will be able to put the roof. Can I just look at some of those? I believe you can do the Bible school course not just once, but you can do it more than once. And there will always be something new that we will be able to learn. You see, what we feed on, that we will become. If you just watch a lot of nonsense on the TV and eat a lot of junk food, you know, you will not be very healthy. You can't live from chocolates and Coke and stuff like that day to day. It will kill you in the long run. I heard about, I'll not quote it for a fact, but a few interesting things on McDonald's and what will happen to you if you eat X amount of McDonald's hamburgers. Apparently, it's really not very healthy to you. Or if you forget it in your pocket a year later on, it seems to be almost there because it's so preserved. But that's another story for another day. Let us not get distracted right now. But you see, we need to feed on the Word of God. We need to feed on something substantial. And that is where I want to challenge you as Christians, as we are building this house. We said in Shofar, our mission statement says, we want to make disciples, we want to reach nations, and we want to plant churches, we want to equip leaders, you see. But we need to build that on the Word. We just can't go somewhere and want to establish something and it's not in the Word of God. There's a last slide that I have here, laying a foundation of truth. You see, sometimes God needs to do exchange in our hearts. Sometimes He needs to take something that you believe for such a long time, and He needed to take it out and put a new truth there. Maybe you believe this morning or in your life, you know, maybe you think you're stupid, or stupid is maybe a bad word, but maybe you think you're not the cleverest, or maybe you think you are not well built, or whatever the case might be. The enemy comes, and I've seen it over doing quite a few years of the, especially the Foundation 3 ministry, the lies that we believe about ourselves, about the calling on our lives, about our identity. And you see, God needs to come and He needs to take that thing out of us, and He needs to put something new in our lives. And that is where it's so powerful, when the enemy comes, and maybe you have that thought, maybe it says, I will never get a husband, I will never get a wife. Maybe you are, I'm just using it as an example. And then you can go to Scripture, and you can quote Scripture back to the enemy in a sense and say, I believe God says in His Word, He's got His plans are good for me, you know. And you can look at whatever the case might be. Maybe you battle with fear in your life. Then you can go to the Word, and you need to see where it stands and what Scripture says about it, that He didn't give us a spirit of fear, you see. And you quote it back, and you pray that over your life until you really believe it. And obviously the Holy Spirit will do that work in our lives. One of my many, many favorite scriptures in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And that, in a sense, is part of my prayer for our church, you know, that we will be equipped, that we will have that foundation. You see, Scripture also says we need to be ready in season and out of season to preach the Word. We need to have so much Word in our lives that when someone asks you to share something, maybe to preach somewhere, maybe in a small group or whatever context, or maybe you're standing in a queue somewhere waiting and you get into a conversation with a person you haven't met before, and that person asks you about the gospel, that you are equipped, that you can share the Word, that you can share the truth, reach out to that person, and, you know, hopefully it will have an impact on that person's life. I've got it from our statement of faith. Maybe I like reading stuff like that, and you can also go get it on our internet site. It's just a part of what we believe in terms of Scripture, and it says this is the first line of our faith statement. We believe in the Scriptures of the Old and the New Testament, in their original writing, as fully inspired of God, and accept them as the supreme and final authority for faith and life. We believe in one God, externally existing in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You see, what we are as a church, what we believe, we get it from the Word. We cannot say, this is what we want to do, and it's not planted and rooted in the Word. So this morning, I feel it's such a easy thing, if I may use the words, to sell. If I were to sell a washing machine and a car, then we need to compare it with other things. But there's nothing in this world that we can compare to the Word of God. And that is where I said in the beginning, I almost want to fall into that trap of just starting to give you information about Scripture, just the fact when it was written and all the different things. But many of that you can either study by yourself, or you can go and read it in Bible school or study it in Bible school. But this morning I really want to encourage you that the Word of God changes us, that the Word of God is the truth. Just look around you about the testimonies of what God is doing in people's lives, you see. And then about this foundation, make sure and say to God, God, I'm afraid maybe to be a 10-story building or a 15-story building. God, You need to do this work in my life. But You have to go and You have to make sure the foundation already. That is a foundation that God can build on. And you see, if you think, well, I will, and obviously there's the opportunity to go on and to study more about Scripture as you go on growing as a Christian. But the sooner, the more you can learn, the more you learn. And I remember when I was a young Christian, I listened to pastors and preachers and I thought, well, I also want to know that much. And it feels after a few years if I still just know this much. But we need to continue to equip ourselves to study the Word, get yourself a good commentary. And that's why I want to end off this morning, to hold the hand out. Because as I said, I believe God isn't manipulating us. He's not sowing fear or anything. And we will not do it ourselves. You know, there's an invitation that God is giving to us, inviting all of us to get to know Him better, to be equipped, and then to go to the nations. Amen. Father, we